Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, one of the great peaceful, incredible solutions we have at our fingertips today. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you all had an absolutely delightful weekend as I did. And, man, there's so much going on in the news. It's shocking. It is a Thanksgiving. What do you want to call it? It's not Eve. It's a Thanksgiving week. I'm celebrating Thanksgiving all week, ladies and gentlemen. I am grateful for it. And you know what? There's a big to-do in the news right now about how, you know what, the Thanksgiving holiday isn't as it's taught in government schools. Are you surprised? And they say it's not reality. You know, we didn't just get along and hang out with the Indians and have a fantastic time and everybody was just celebrating religious freedom and it was all peaceful and happy and cheerful. And no, that's not the way it happened. We were hostile to the Indians. We about starved. We had internal fighting. It was just a disaster and it was all rooted in slavery. That's what they want you to know in the mainstream press, okay? I submit to you both are not accurate. Or I should say neither are accurate. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we did have a very difficult time coming to the promised land. We had a difficult time getting here. We did not get along with the Indians. They were fearful of us. We were fearful of them because of language barriers. They felt like we were encroaching on their land, which we were. And we both misunderstood one another in our intentions and our way of life and our expectations. And you know what? Along the way, it's been a bumpy ride in America. There's been mistakes of how we've treated the Indians. There's been mistakes of how we've treated the blacks. There's been mistakes how we've treated the Mormons, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There's been a lot of snafus along the way for sure, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear and acknowledge that openly and clearly, shall we? But let's also not lose sight of the truth. The truth is America brought a unique form of government called a constitutional republic to the table. Never been tried before in the history of the world. Based on the Bible. Based on God Almighty and His laws. And let's be clear, there's human stumbles along the way, no doubt about it, and they should be acknowledged. The worst of them should never be repeated. But let's be very clear, in the real picture, the real summation, honest, open history says, yeah, it's been a rough road in many ways. Yes, there's been mistakes, but on the whole, it's been the most incredible experiment man has ever tried. It has been an acknowledgement that when you turn to God, He will bless us indeed. It's been a reality check about the proper role of government, about the Constitution, about liberty, about checks and balances. It has been a tremendous, tremendous solution. We've had more freedom for more people in the history of the world via the United States and the Constitution and the grand old experiment of the wonderful efforts of the founding fathers. That experiment has proven successful. And that reality check now has brought more liberty to more people in the history of the world than anywhere ever. And even with America's mistakes along the way, people are not leaving this country. People are begging to come here for a reason. So even though, you know what, the whitewashed reality of Thanksgiving is probably not factually actual truth, neither is the we're all enemies and we're all, you know, slaveholders and evil and just, you know, horrible people. Neither of those narratives are true. The truth is we've had a bumpy road. But the truth is that every group that's come to America, no matter how they got here, no matter how they've been treated while they were here, has been blessed by the greatest country on the face of the earth based on godly principles, checks and balances, accepting that government's necessary, but limiting it to its proper function and role by dividing power vertically, horizontally, through the three branches of everywhere. Checks and balances, dual sovereignties, whatever term you want to use to limit power. Okay? America's a wonderful place. I am thankful, and I celebrate this Thanksgiving week all week long because I understand that, yeah, there's been a bumpy road here. And if you say, well, Sam, you can say that because you're not one of those abused groups. You know, you're not an Indian or a Native American. I don't know how Native I am. I was born here, and so were my parents. I don't know how Native you got to be, right? The members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were the most abused of any group ever to hit American soil. Yeah, there was literally an extermination order by Governor Boggs of Missouri, literally an extermination order to kill all men, women, and children. You can't tell me that's been unleashed on any of the American, whatever you want to call it, people, African-Americans, Native Americans, any other group. You can't say that kind of abuse. We even went to the President of the United States in the 1800s and said, please help us. And Martin Van Buren, the President of the United States, said, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. Imagine that. An extermination order by one state governor. The President of the United States says, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. And then to add insult to injury, other states kicked the Mormons out, kicked the Mormons out, kicked the Mormons out. As the Mormons were fleeing to the Rocky Mountains for safety, then the United States government comes and begs them to come back and help them fight the Mexican War, which the humble Americans, who were Mormons, who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, humbly said, yes, we'll help you, because they understood that even though there's abuses along the way, America brought more blessings, more liberty, more freedom, more religious freedom to anybody ever, anywhere. And that's why when they tell you we're anti-government, they absolutely lie to you. We are the most pro-proper rule of government, the most pro-constitutional Americans on the planet. And so I, for one, defend America. I know about her mistakes and her missteps. I get it, and I'm saddened by those. But I also look at the picture on the whole and say, what a blessed country that's provided more freedom than anywhere, ever. Okay? To black people especially. To Native Americans especially. To members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints especially. We were just kicked out of the country and had to wait a long time to become a state. But in any other atmosphere, we would have been crushed and stamped out completely. So let's think about Thanksgiving all week long and what we're thankful for. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for family. And I'm thankful for country. Lowell Nelson, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you for having me, Sam. Good to be with you.
Man, there's so much to talk about. There's so little time. I got so busy talking about Thanksgiving and how great of a country we have that I forgot to even do my normal recap of the previous day's show. But I want to quickly mention Gibraltar. I don't know if you know, but it's the most vaccinated region in the country. They've literally got 100% vaccinated, 40% boosted. And now they had to cancel Christmas because of the exponential rise of the cocoa in their country. It's a disaster. Any comment on Gibraltar real quick?
Well, just like other countries that have fully vaccinated, well, have approached full vaccination of their people, that's where COVID cases are the worst. I mean, that's where that's why people are saying that the COVID vaccine is deadlier than the COVID itself. I mean, so we just need to be careful. I mean, it's proving us right, Sam, that the vaccine is the bioweapon, and we shouldn't allow it. We shouldn't touch it. Shouldn't be injected by it, because we're just asking for trouble if we do.
Yeah, they say Disney cruises will require vaccination for passengers ages 5 and above starting in January. So they're literally cranking on the vaccines. Now, what I don't understand is they told you and I that they had one vaccine passed where it's not really an emergency use vaccine anymore, they claim. But what I don't understand is now they just released the booster shot, lol, and the FDA amended the emergency use authorization for the Pfizer, Moderna, COVID-19 vaccination boosters for all adults. But why do they have to do it under emergency authorization if we have a vaccine that's already approved?
And why do we have the booster if the vaccine is so-called, you know, effective?
Safe you know, and effective, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So there's something amiss here, very wrong with it.
And I heard that. But anyway, I find that interesting, though, especially this emergency use thing. They told us that it was approved. Now, how come people aren't getting the approved? All you got to do is the booster shots, from what I understand, are just a lesser amount of the regular shots. Why not just use the approved vaccine? The answer is because they don't have it. It was all a big lie. A psyop. It was a game back then when they pretended it was approved. Nobody's getting the approved vaccines or boosters. Everybody's under emergency authorization. And I don't understand why, except for the fact that they lied. Now, the VAERS analysis, by the way, there's some people saying there's over 150,000 Americans killed by COVID vaccines because they say the data was interpreted wrongly. That's kind of a scary scenario indeed. But I bring that up because, you know, you really got to think about this. If you accept the normal interpretation of the VAERS data, it's about 30,000 deaths so far and growing. Others say it's 150,000. I don't know the truth. All I know is this. The safe and effective lie is out the window. The problem is they keep pushing for tyranny. We'll tell you about that coming up with Lowell Nelson right here on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Take me to task, cause I don't wanna wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is feed us lie after lie. That's why I will not comply. Now, since back last March, I've had an achy, breaky heart like old Billy Ray Cyrus. Catching a case of the blues from the news around this damn coronavirus. Now they're telling us we gotta keep our chin divers up, even if we got the shot in the arm. But nobody's talking about exercise or eating food that's fresh grown from the farm. That's why I will not comply.
Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's out of control what's going on in the Republic today. Our founders will be turning over in their graves, but I'm still thankful on Thanksgiving. How about you? Yeah, that's Blind Joe's. I will not comply. It's a video. We got the audio going just for you. Compliments of Lowell Nelson doing a phenomenal job riding shotgun on the broadcast today. And, man, there's so much to talk about. Before we get to the diabolical digital ID stuff, though, I just want you to know Ron Paul wrote an incredible column exposing the Federal Reserve's failure. And we talked about that and talked about how that relates to the economy. Well, the House passes Biden's, quote, back better bill, roughly $2 trillion with climate initiatives, all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do with infrastructure, is headed to the Senate. Time will tell what's going to happen. But Ron Paul doing a phenomenal job calling out the reality check that we're spending ourselves into oblivion. Believe it or not, 32 Republicans voted for Biden's infrastructure bill. Now, there's two kind of components to this thing. They're both disaster. Anyway, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we shall continue. Any comments on that, Lowell? Really, Ron Paul, the only one, well, I guess Rand is as well, speaking out boldly about, you know what, we're going to a budget, a crisis, where we're just spending ourselves into oblivion on this stuff, and Republicans are the ones that really tipped us over the edge to make it happen.
Yeah, both parties are at fault, Sam. Whether they're Republican or Democrat, there's only a handful of members of Congress who vote against these budget-busting, deficit-creating bills. We are so far in debt, and the deficit, the annual deficit, just gets bigger and bigger, and they continue to spend. They just continue to pour money into foolish things and devalue the currency that's in your bank account already. They just do it over and over. It doesn't matter their political party, and so it just continues to get worse and worse. Like an addict on crack cocaine, they can't get away from it. They'll continue to spend until the dollar is worthless, and they're just making it more and more worthless every year with every passing year, Sam.
I wish we could literally call a halt to that con game and the Republicans to do what's right. They're begging us to, you know, in 2022 and 2024, just get the Republicans back in power. But every time they appeal to us on a great campaign where we're like, yeah, let's get it done, and then they get there and they betray us, just like they did right now. These bills of Joe Biden, these out-of-control spending bills and everything, would not have passed if it wasn't for 32-plus Republicans jumping aboard and backing Joe and the Democrats on this. So I don't mean to make it a partisan discussion. To me, it just shows they're all part of the swamp. There is a better answer, ladies and gentlemen. The whole thing's very diabolical between the deep state and we the people trying to stand for liberty and the Hegelian dialectic they use on us on a regular basis. But I'll tell you this, diabolical indeed, the digital ID will control your life, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, we didn't think much of this. We fought back digital ID back in the day years and years and years ago, and we thought we won, but they keep coming back, and the cocoa might just be the clincher, huh, Lowell?
That is the current reason why people are pushing for a digital ID everywhere, because it allows them to monitor, you know, the people, whether you've been vaccinated or not. And because, you know, if they can answer that question, then they've got de facto this digital ID on everybody in the world. And they're going to control your life by it. And one of the reasons I highlight this morning, Sam, is just to help people understand that there are countries that have implemented digital ID already. And we need to learn from their mistakes. We need not, you know, the lesson for us is to not go there. But let me just tell you already that there is a database in India called Andhar that contains digital identification of more than 1 billion people on the planet, right? I mean, in India. It is the largest biometric digital ID system ever constructed, and it's employed right now in India. It's basically a de facto social credit system. It's sold to the public as the key access point to government services, but it also tracks users' geolocation, employment, and purchasing habits. So Indians who seek government assistance have no choice but to submit to this invasive surveillance if they want government services and assistance programs, such as food rations. So this is one of the reasons, Sam, why the government wants people to be dependent on them, because then they can force people to accept the digital ID. And there are glitches. Some of them are deadly glitches. For example, death by starvation. There is a person in India named Etwalaya Devi, 67-year-old widow from the rural Indian state of Jharkhand. She might have passed without notice had it not been for part of a more widespread trend. Like 1.3 billion people of her fellow Indians, Devi had been pushed to enroll in the biometric digital ID system in order to access public services, including her monthly allotment of 25 kilograms of rice. When her fingerprint failed to register with the shoddy system, Devi was denied her food ration. And through the course of the following 3 months in 2017, that's how long this system has been around, she was repeatedly refused food until she succumbed to hunger alone in her home. So that's just the first of three stories in this particular article about three individuals in India who died from starvation because they had been on this this food rationing system, but because of glitches and bugs in the system, they were denied sustenance and died, right? And so these are just three of numerous deaths in rural India in 2017. These are problems that we will face, Sam, if we allow the implementation of such a system here in this country. And so,
you know what? You see inklings of this right now, Lowell. It's not in your face as much as it will be if you go along the India and or the China path. But you're already seeing this in America right now. I'm shut down on Twitter because I dared to report a news item that was reported in other mainstream press organizations. And I reported what they were, reporting. And they said, hey, you're not allowed to report that misinformation. Donald Trump, all the way down to me, have been shut down on some of these, quote, social media sites. Thus, my social credit score right now is you're turned off. And so, you know what? They're turning off social credit scores. They're turning off my ability to report now, but how long will it be until that dovetails into your paycheck or your Social Security check or your need for services of whatever kind they are or your bank account or your, okay, credit card companies have been shutting down conservatives. Bank accounts have been shutting down conservatives. Social media have been shutting down conservatives. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where it all starts. And if you don't think it can happen in America, you are sadly deceived. This is incredibly diabolical, ladies and gentlemen. It will indeed control your life, okay? A digital ID system has been implemented in India, but we have a digital ID system in America. It's called the Social Security Card. Now they're going to team that up with your driver's license. They're all going digital. On the Social Security Card, mixed with the driver's license, eventually will be your COCO status. And if you're in the wrong status for COVID, unvaccinated, in other words, hey, this guy's banned from social media because he reported the wrong stuff, they say. This guy's a political talk show host. This guy is religious. He's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints there. And you put all that together and this dossier on me comes to light where they're like, hey, this guy's an unsavory terrorist. Now, you say that's crazy, but they've already got a lot of it going in America from the shutdown on social media all the way through to a virtual national ID card via Social Security system, to a, I don't have a driver's license because I can't see and drive, but I have a state ID card. I have to have one, right? They've already got a diabolical digital ID. They just haven't connected all the pieces of the database yet, but it's a coming. We'll talk about it more in a second with Lowell Nelson. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Today, our community faced horror and tragedy in what should have been a community celebration. I'm deeply saddened to know that so many in our community went to a parade but ended up dealing with injury and heartache.
In what appears to be an intentional act, a person drove an SUV into a parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Sunday afternoon. Mayor Sean Riley went on to say that this was a senseless act. Waukesha Police Chief Dan Thompson.
We're no longer looking for a suspect vehicle. We do have a person of interest in custody at the moment, but this is still a very fluid investigation.
A handful of souls have died and over three dozen injured. This year's Thanksgiving won't be immune to the supply chain issues, but no need to worry. Butterball CEO Chairman Jay Jontrain says the only turkey compromise families might have to make this year is buying a bigger bird than they actually need. USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Big news from Simply Safe Home Security. Okay. Actually, I think the horns are too much. Yeah, that's better. Big news. The new wireless outdoor security camera is here. Yes, Simply Safe's award-winning home security just got even better, taking whole home protection to a whole new level. Okay, I'm missing the horns. Simply Safe is celebrating this new camera with 50% off a new system this week. Visit SimplySafe.com.
A majority of Americans disapprove of President Biden's job performance.
President Biden not faring well on race relations, the economy, immigration, or inflation. A new poll released Sunday by CBS News and YouGov found that only one-third of those surveyed approve of how President Biden has handled inflation. 82% of those surveyed said items are costing them more than they did just not long ago. Less than half of respondents approve of those other major issues. The president did get high marks in his handling of the coronavirus vaccine. The poll of just over 2,000 adults found that 44% approve of the president's job in office. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
The new movie by Sony Pictures, Ghostbusters Afterlife, racked up $44 million this weekend, exceeding expectations and unseating Disney's Eternals. The fourth installment in the spooky franchise was projected to gross $30 to $35 million in its opening weekend. The film was delayed by more than a year by the COVID-19 pandemic. USA Radio News.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We got to stand up and be counted. I know there's a couple of words in that song that aren't perfect, but you know what? I get the frustration, right? I get the frustration. Blind Joe, I guess, got eliminated during the knockout round, right? Yeah. Blind Joe's a well-known country singer. Born on July 14th, 1982. Yeah. 36 years old. Famous country singer list. There you have it. Anyway, thought would bring that to your attention. Great music. Lowell, do you want to comment on that video? There's a little bit of a visual there too, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of visual there. It's mostly just of him playing his guitar and singing. But the thing I like about it, Sam, is that it resonates. There's a lot of truth in that music video, and he has the courage to sing it out, and it resonates with people. I mean, there are people all over this country that share his sentiment and understand. Their eyes are open. They understand that we're being fed lie after lie, and that's why, you know, we are not going to comply. We simply cannot, we must not stand, because this is the last bastion of liberty. If it's extinguished here, it'll be gone everywhere, and we must simply, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our grandchildren, for the sake of all of our fellow brothers and sisters in other countries, we simply here in America must not comply in order to maintain this liberty for the sake of our fellow men everywhere, Sam.
All right. Blind Joe's video, by the way, I guess he was on season 9 of The Voice, and it got knocked out in the knockout rounds, but there you have it. You know, I love people that are willing to sing for liberty. That takes guts. That takes dedication. Most people get barbecued for it and lose their whole career. But there's a few people, you know, Ted Nugent's one of them. And now you got Blind Joe standing up. Blind Joe's I Will Not Comply video. Great stuff. But really, it's a diabolical situation about how digital ID will indeed control your life. And I know it's starting in India. But it it's called the what? Odd Girl database?
Yeah, the one in India is called Aad. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Aadhaar.
Aadhaar, yeah.
Aadhaar.
Anyway, database. The thing is, ladies and gentlemen, this system is really a de facto social credit system like they've got in communist China. They've got it in India. They're working on it in America, though. They don't have all the dots and the I's, you know, dotted and the T's crossed and all that stuff yet on it. But they've got a lot of this in America. The social credit system, starting with Facebook and Twitter banning us. You got the social security system, which is the national side. You got the driver's license, which they're adding more and more details to. You put that together with, well, it used to be you couldn't access anybody's medical records. But now with COVID, I guess you can. So you tie that together. You've got so much information on everybody's homes with Zillow. You put all these public and private databases together, and the dossier on every one of us is tremendous. All they'd have to do is add the Facebook / Twitter style shut you down, and you're done, conservative. We must not submit, lol.
Well, it's also in Italy, Sam. Mandatory vaccine passports are implemented for all workers, both public and private. Reports of inhumane exclusion are emerging there. An old woman was turned away from a hospital because she didn't have a passport. In Lithuania, some of the harshest COVID shot mandates in the world. Well, there, the unvaccinated, they're banned from restaurants, from non-essential stores, from shopping malls, beauty services, libraries, banks, insurance agencies, universities, inpatient medical care, train travel. It's terrible. There, reported coming out of Lithuania, says, "My wife and I are banished from society. We have no income. Banned from most shopping. Can barely exist. We tried to buy our supplies for our kids from a craft store. No purchase allowed without a pass. We tried to buy educational toys in a toy store. We were barred from entering. We can't buy kitchen supplies. This is banal but frustrating." Went on to finally say, "This pressure to submit is everywhere, and it's overwhelming. Our ability to survive has been destroyed, but no matter the suffering imposed and the hardships we must endure, we will never accept this descent into authoritarianism, which the COVID pass represents." It's everywhere, Sam, and it's coming to a country near you. And the answer, though, is simply we must not comply. We will not comply. We cannot. Else, we'll lose everything, Sam, if we give in to this diabolical scheme. Sam?
We must not submit. We must not comply. If we do, then our children and our grandchildren will grow up in a world without knowing what it's like to even be free, ladies and gentlemen. But there are people standing up. You're not alone. Even the Oklahoma National Guard is refusing the vax mandate. Lol.
This is a great bit of news, Sam, because the governor there refuses to implement the Biden administration vaccine mandate. Now it was interesting because the adjutant general, previous to the current one, he had directed troops to comply with the vaccine mandate. Well, he got replaced. Governor Kevin Stitt, a Republican in that state, replaced the adjutant general who had mandated the vaccine, replaced him with a new commanding general who promptly issued an order rejecting it. And so in his memo, Brigadier General Thomas Mancino, the state's new National Guard commander, said that personnel could sidestep the policy with no repercussions unless they were put on federal duty. And so it's not like they're totally in the clear, but as long as they're under the state's commander, they don't have to comply. They don't have to get the vaccine. There's no mandate. They're not going to be, you know, expelled or kicked out without pay or whatever by refusing to get the vaccine mandate.
Well, Richard Mack's case comes to mind here, ladies and gentlemen, as well, that the states have no obligation to comply with the feds' belligerent, out-of-control, unconstitutional mandates as well. One of the greatest 10th Amendment decisions ever rendered in America today over the Brady Bill now applies here as well, whereas Anthony and Scalia talked about dual sovereignties in the states, and the states' employees and or officials or whatever you want to say are under no jurisdictional authority whatsoever. That's really critical to understand, Lowell.
It is, Sam. It's called the anti-commandeering doctrine, where the federal government may not coerce a state to do its bidding, right, to enforce its act. You can't commandeer the resources of the state to accomplish, you know, some act or statute or opinion of the general government. So it's an excellent, wonderful landmark case. And we need more people like this Governor Kevin Stitt in Oklahoma, who appointed who basically fired one guy and appointed another guy, who said we're not gonna obey this federal mandate here in Oklahoma. So if you are in Oklahoma, if you're serving in the National Guard in Oklahoma, this is really good news for you. And I hope this news spreads like wildfire across the country, because we need other states to stand up and do the same thing. Oh, how I wish for a governor with the courage to stand up and do what this governor in Oklahoma did. Because, you know, there's something called Defend the Guard Act. I've talked about it before in this program. But basically, it's a state bill. West Virginia has run it for several years in a row now. It protects members of the National Guard in the state from being compelled to serve in a foreign war without a congressional declaration of war. And so, this cropped up in West Virginia, and the Pentagon, the way they fight it is that they say, well, we're not going to give funds to West Virginia troops, you know, specifically some. You know, if the Pentagon has that kind of control over the money that goes to a state, then a state's going to be less likely to implement this type of a thing. You know,
ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing more people stand up, and hopefully we can start brush fires of freedom everywhere, and more and more and more will stand up and catch the vision. Oklahoma National Guard refusing to take the vaccines. We think more states need to follow suit. Ron DeSantis doing a great job. People are pushing back, and boy, howdy, do we need more of them. This is Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Sam Bushman on your radio, breaking it down just for you, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much going on, but you know what? They're putting together a system, not only in India, not only in China, not only all around the world, but in America as well, which will be a de facto social credit system. It's sold to the public as the key access point to government services, to safety, but it also tracks as your location, your purchasing habit, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, they're implementing it throughout the Western world as well, and it'll be a digital ID system that'll be a disaster if you don't go along. We must not submit. We must not comply. If we do, then our children and our grandchildren will indeed grow up in a world that, man, they won't even know what freedom is like. But people are pushing back. In Oklahoma, the National Guard pushing back, refusing to go along. More states need to follow suit. But we've got to push back on this, ladies and gentlemen. The general government, by the way, cannot force all states and or all the people to comply. Why? Because it simply does not have the manpower to enforce its will on the people of the several states. Now, not only is it that they can't force us, they don't have enough manpower, but they really don't have jurisdictional authority either. And let's be very clear, when they pretend they have jurisdictional authority, when they try to assert by force that they have jurisdictional authority, and when we push back, it's they who have gone rogue. It isn't us that are practicing civil disobedience. It's they who have gone rogue, and it's our duty, our obligation, based on the checks and balances and based on the consent of the governed. We don't give consent, okay? This is critical that we understand they're the ones that have gone rogue. We're not the ones that are involved in anything nefarious or anything else. It's they who have gone rogue that have caused these problems and jurisdictional battles. Lol.
You're absolutely right, Sam, and that was clearly outlined in Federalist number 46 by James Madison, the father of the Constitution, who recognized that general government would sometimes color outside the lines, so to speak, and do stuff that for which there was no warrant in the general, you know, in the Constitution. And so he gave us four things that we should do to oppose the feds when they overstep their authority. Just real simply, number one was disquietude of the people, right? Protests and petitions and so forth generated at the grassroots level. Number two was refusal to cooperate with officers of the union, which is basically non-compliance, right? That's Blind Joe's song, "We Will Not Comply." And number three, the frowns of the executive magistracy of the state, basically that's governors. Right, governors formally protesting federal action. That's what Governor Stitt did in Oklahoma. And then number four, legislative devices. These include resolutions and laws approved by state legislators that erect barriers against this encroachment by the general government. So those are the four things. You can read it for yourself, folks. It's in Federalist number 46. This is what James Madison wrote right there. And he further elaborates in the Kentucky resolutions and the Virginia resolutions of 1798, this very thing, the way we stop federal overreach is these four things: disquietude of the people, refusal to cooperate, governor frowning on it, and legislative vices, you know, erecting the barriers against this encroachment. And so this is our blueprint. This is nullification. This is exactly how Jefferson and Madison envisioned we would stop the overreach of the general government, Sam, in doing these things. We just need more of people doing these things, the local and state level, Sam.
Now, to all of you who believe that we can't do that, you think, oh, my goodness, we don't want to be involved in civil disobedience, or we don't want to, border on insurrection or whatever. Okay, don't buy those lies. They're the ones that have gone rogue. And let me prove it to you. Joe Biden tried to mandate vaccines for everybody, even in private business. And at first it was like, we're just going to do it for government. Then we're going to do it for everybody, businesses over 100 people. Then they enabled OSHA, saying OSHA can do whatever it wants to for the safety of the people. And then OSHA said, we're going to go probably move below 100 employees. We're going to really target small business. And then people got mad and sued. And the courts have literally said, stop. The courts have said, stop. And then they appealed. Joe Biden, in his hostility towards the jurisdictional realities and separations of power in America, Joe went belligerent and sued to try to appeal the halt. And a second court came back, even an appellate court came back and said, no, Joe, you're out of control. You're overreaching. This is suspended. And then OSHA got the message and finally backed off. Okay. But then Joe Biden literally in his administration is saying, ignore the courts. Businesses proceed. Ignore the courts. Don't obey. That's what your president, if you accept him as your president, says right now. Don't obey. Businesses, ignore the courts. Ignore the OSHA halt. Ignore. Listen to me. I'm God, and you must comply. You must carry it forward. You must. Okay. Joe's out of control. Joe needs to be literally impeached and tried for high crimes and misdemeanors. How dare he say ignore the courts? How dare he try to force private businesses? And then we try to say, wait a minute. No, that's not lawful. That's not acceptable. We're going to stand up and uphold the law. And Joe says, ignore the law. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand this is where we must stand up. It's our duty. Otherwise, if a president can ignore the courts, can ignore the states, can ignore the will of the people, where do we end up? And I'm telling you, that line of thinking is not good. We are a nation of law and order. We are a nation of checks and balances. And Joe, just because he thinks he's the president, that doesn't mean that he has authority to do whatever he wants. This is very compelling to understand. We're reigning in tyranny is what we're doing. That's what the founding fathers envisioned when they put dual sovereignties, the states and the federal government, with different jurisdictional responsibilities based on we, the people, the consent of the governed. That's where the buck stops. And we need to assert ourselves in a very peaceful, kind, but insistent way that says, hey, not on my watch. I think that's really critical to understand, Lowell.
Well, I think you said it right, Sam. When you said that people look at us in rebellion, they think that any resistance to federal authority is rebellion, right? Well, what we need to recognize, what you said earlier, is that the true rebels here are the elected officials. It's the Joe Bidens. It's the federal bureaucrats. It's the OSHA compliance officers, the functionaries in Washington, D.C., and their counterparts within the states. Those are the ones who refuse to respect the constitutional limits of their power. They're the real rebels. It's time for us, the people, and local and state jurisdictions to take on our proper role in this system and put down the rebellion. The rebellion is them. It's the tyrants seeking to enforce these unconstitutional mandates on us, the people. And so we have a duty, Sam. Jefferson and Madison were very clear about this, that the people have a duty to stand up and check the power of the general government, and we follow their blueprint in doing so. We are the ones who truly honor constitutional government. We are not the rebels. They are, Sam.
Amen to that reality check. Now, we were at the Week in Act conference, and we covered it incredibly well. Lowell Nelson was there, part of the solutions, running people to the airport, taking care of speakers, doing a phenomenal job. I was running a booth there. We covered the Week in Act conference incredibly well several weeks ago. But you know what? While we were doing that, there were some good patriots, our dear friends, Ty and Charlene Bollinger, who have written books about the realities of cancer and how to solve some of these problems without, you know, the standard practice of killing everybody along the way. Anyway, Ty and Charlene Bollinger hosted a conference on health and medical freedom in Nashville, Tennessee. A quick update on how that went. It was an incredible conference with over 2,000 people in attendance. Wow, it was almost like our conference. People are pushing back and fighting for freedom everywhere, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. We didn't cover it because we were in the midst of the Weekend Act conference here in the Intermountain West. But it truly was an awesome conference. It was in Nashville, Tennessee. About 2,000 people attended. Some of the big-name speakers that you might recognize, Judy Mikovits, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Del Bigtree from The High Wire, Roger Stone, Eric Trump, to name just a few. They had dozens of speakers, very much like we had at the Weekend Act Liberty Conference in Salt Lake City. But it's worth highlighting the fact that not only did they have a great conference, but the speakers there echoed what the speakers here at the Liberty Conference were saying. You know, Ty Bollinger noted the government should not dictate health and medical policy. He stressed that people have a moral responsibility to disobey unlawful laws. You know, and that Sam echoes what I think it was Thomas Jefferson said, right? I mean, obedience to disobedience to tyrant is obedience to God, right? And that's really what it comes down to. If we have a tyrant who is pressing upon us, we have a moral responsibility to disobey tyrannical law, right? And that's kind of what Ty was saying. He denounced the lucrative revolving door where someone can work for the FDA and then work for the vaccine manufacturer like Pfizer or Moderna, right? It's an incestuous relationship that the FDA has with these big pharma companies, not only FDA, but the WHO and the CDC and other organizations like that. Well, Google whistleblower Zach Voorhees downloaded 950 pages of Google internal documents describing their censorship regime. He talked about that. Dr. Judy Mikovits was greeted as a hero. Standing ovation, Sam. Thunderous applause. She has emerged from her persecution by Tony Fauci, as she refers to him, little Tony. Imprisonment and the loss of everything material, Sam. She lost everything. She was in jail for years, right? She emerged with unshakable faith and humility. She said this, Sam, quote, "Nothing they're telling you has a basis in truth," end of quote. Only people with compromised immune systems can get sick. And you look at that. You look at the evidence of that, Sam. Look at all the sick people that are coming in countries that are fully vaccinated, right? Those are the people who are in the hospitals today. Only sick people, only the people with compromised immune systems can get sick. And look at where all the sickness is coming from. It's coming from those who got the COVID vaccine or the boosters. Anyway, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny drew such a massive crowd that the fire marshal, Sam, ordered audience members who are standing in the back of the room to leave the room. She said many people are addicted to fear, masks are a sign of servitude, and that you can detox from the COVID shots, but nothing can repair your DNA. She said the announced boosters are just the beginning, and that Big Pharma has 109 shots in a pipeline. Listen to that, folks. Over 100 more shots in the pipeline from Big Pharma targeting at you. If you comply with this, then they've got over 100 more shots in the pipeline, you know, coming for you, Sam. And so, boy, do we ever need to speak out against this and not comply. Sam?
Pray hard, work hard. Happy Thanksgiving week to all of you. Celebrate all week, would you please? This is the greatest country on the face of the earth, even with all the troubles that we seem to have. There are answers, there are solutions, and we, the American people, have had tough times before, and we're a resilient bunch, so count on it in the future. Turn to God, turn to family, turn to country, and that's where you'll find real solutions. Thank you, Lowell.
You're welcome, Sam. My pleasure.
Always doing a phenomenal job. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, his website. God save the Republic of the United States of America.